Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. It's an amazing time in history. Of course, when one thinks, we have to stop to realize it's been an amazing time in history for many thousands of years. How could it have been more glorious than the days of Adam and Eve? And from that time to this, we have been experiencing, I can hardly say it, it feels so holy and so wonderful. We have been experiencing all these thousands of years the revelation of Jesus Christ. What an amazing reality. That's something worth living for. Can you imagine being John the Beloved? He has lived all of his adult life loving the Lord, the love growing into greater and greater immensity until the love owned him. The ocean of God overtook him. And he dwelt in the dwelling place of God. Such love, such passion. And the disciple whom Jesus loved, he shared a deep and intimate love. He saw the beauty of the Father for 3.5 years, and it so captivated him that he couldn't run fast enough into the depths to know the Father as Jesus had done. Love that grew, love that changed its complexity, its complexion, its intensity, its constitution, year by year, until that fateful moment when he saw him in his glory, in his majesty, unfolding before him was the revelation of the ages. Poor John, he was so overwhelmed, taken from one scene to another, so dramatic each one. He didn't know whether to fall on his face and worship or whether to jump up and down and, you know, one minute he's on earth, the next minute he's up in the heavens. Next minute he's looking out over the nations of Europe. The next minute, I mean, this guy was traveling all over the place. But such love he had for the one who stood before him. I wonder when it came to him. I wonder if there were those moments when he walked with him. If he ever stood back and said, I wonder this beauty in motion? Is he more than we think? Is he more than we dare believe? He says marvelous things beyond our understanding. And he speaks of the Father like he knew him so intimately. I wonder. And then I'm sure he shook his head and moved on, not daring to believe the unbelievable, that he was the Word made flesh. When did he get that revelation? When did he look in the face of our Lord and suddenly know the revelation of the Father, the revelation of Jesus Christ? Think about this for a moment. Think deeply about it for a moment. We read the book, words of black and white, and you sit back and you are amazed at what you read, wondering what it all means, wishing you really knew for sure exactly what every line means. But to say that you have beheld the revelation of Jesus Christ, and to say it deeply, as one who has experience. Not many can do that. Not many do, because they haven't had the experience. They haven't beheld the revelation. The eyes of their heart have not been open for them to be able to understand and comprehend the knowledge. In the body of Christ, you know, they fight and they war. So many factions. One believes this, the other believes that. And they just believe it so strong it divides families. And sometimes you just want to sit everybody down and say, this is so absurd. This is so ridiculous. You know, I'm sure there's probably a denomination that somehow has built their whole denomination on the fact that God doesn't talk to man today. And we know that there are very good men and women, very good denominations, that don't necessarily believe in the way of the Spirit as other denominations do. We find the silliest things to fight over, don't we? We divide the Bible up so many ways, into so many sections that in the end are almost meaningless. When all it was given to us for was the revelation of Jesus Christ, to allow us the privilege of experiencing the revelation that creates revolution, that brings about reformation. He was given to us to experience, not merely to read, but to experience like John experienced, to experience as Paul experienced. It was given to us to experience Christ. If we don't experience Him through His revelation, most of our Christian reality is lost. He was never meant to be a one-dimensional God to us. He gave the revelation for us to experience. Isn't that love? The Amplified says in John, the book of John, it says that in the 17th chapter, that my love might be felt in your hearts. I can remember in my earliest days of walking with the Lord, having so many experiences and hearing people teach that we shouldn't want experiences, that we walk by faith, not by experience. And I think, wow, maybe there's something wrong with my walk. I really believed that. I didn't understand why everyone's saying, you walk by faith, not by sight. You walk by faith, not by experience. And I'm experiencing. What's wrong with me? But of course, today, 30 years later, I realize the problem isn't with me. Real faith is built in experience with God. Real faith is built on a conviction that comes out of experience. You believe that God is love because you have felt His love. It's one thing to believe it because the Bible says it, but it's another thing to believe it because you've experienced it. You know this foreign kind of love that has flowed down over your heart. You've experienced it. No one can ever tell you God is not love. You have faith in that. And you have faith because you know it through experience. You go up to a tub of very, very hot water, you stick your hand in it, and you jump. Your hand is all red, and boy, what a painful experience. But no one's going to tell you that water is cold, because you experienced it. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it has been given for you to know. It has not been given for others who do not believe, but it has been given to those who believe. It has been given for you to know. It has been given for you to know. The revelation of Jesus Christ was given for you to read, but not read only, for you to know. Let that sink into your heart. If the revelation of Jesus Christ was given for you to know, shouldn't you know it? If it was given for you, and you know the Greek word know means experiential knowledge. In other words, it's knowledge you have experienced. The Jewish sages will tell you, you do not have knowledge unless you have experienced it and you have embraced it and you are living it. That is not true knowledge to you. And in the same respect, the Bible uses the Greek word specifically that speaks of experiential knowledge. Jesus said, "It has been given for you to know." It has been given for you to get a big head with intellectual knowledge. But it has been given for you to experience the revelation of Jesus Christ. And to each one, his own experience. You don't have to have mine. I don't have to have yours. I'd probably like to have each one of yours. You'd probably like to have a few of mine. It is given for each and every one of us to experience. Am I belaboring the point? Too bad. If it has been given for you to experience, your call is to desire it with all passion, to assist your walk with great passion. I want to know the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to experience it. And I will live to have that experience. Now, if I were to come to you, never having met you before, and say to you, the Lord tells me he's going to give you the revelation of Jesus Christ. You're going to experience it. What would you do? Would you sit down and watch your favorite programs every night and wonder occasionally, I wonder when it's going to happen? I hope not. Would you fast? Would you pray? I want this word to come to pass, Lord. Would you spend time in His Word, hoping this is the moment? Would you find yourself pulling more and more away from the tinsel town of the world so you can be alone with Him in hopes of experiencing the revelation of Jesus Christ? Do you think you'd believe it that much? Would you? Would you? I've got something better for you. Jesus said it to you. It is for you to know. It is for you to know. Jesus said it. You can't get any better than that. And then in another place he said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. The whole, full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come and that will happen in the future. Doesn't that sound a little bit like the revelation of Jesus Christ? He will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal and declare and disclose and transmit it to you. Doesn't that sound like the revelation of Jesus Christ? Well, you know it does because he said all truth. So I've given you better than a prophet. The words of the Lord Himself. That Jesus wants to come to you and He wants to reveal Himself to you. Isn't that exciting? Isn't it exciting that you don't have to ever wonder again how much of the revealing of Christ you can have? Jesus says, "The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." This is the word of Jesus Christ. If you live for any other reason in this life, you're living for the wrong reason. May I tell you that? Good, because I'd like to say it again. If you live for any other reason in this life, you live for the wrong reason. I want to somehow make this diamond as big as I can make it. The promise is to you. The capacity in this life to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not intellectual knowledge, but experience in all His manifest glory. Do you guys believe me? Are you sure? Are you sure you don't think, well, that's for you? But deep down in my heart, I know that will never happen to me. Are you sure you don't think that? Are you positive? You wouldn't tell a story in church, would you? If you believe it, hunger for it. Hunger for it. Hunger for it so much that it changes the way you live. When you awake in the morning, think, I want to know the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you stop and you have lunch in the afternoon, think, oh God, I want to know the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you go to bed at night, lay there and think, what can I do to experience the revelation of Jesus Christ faster? God, teach me your way. Help me to know the path of revelation. The more you do this, the more your heart will begin to pant after the truth. And the more you hunger for the truth, the more it will change your life and the way you live. There are those who say they love the truth, but whenever you tell them the truth, they reject it. If it's not a really sweet truth. But those who love the truth will be convicted by their truth. They will love the truth, even if it's hard. Because why? Because they know now that they are one step closer to a greater revelation of Christ. Love truth enough to let it cut like a sword all the darkness that shrouds the beauty of the light. Christ is the revelation of God. He is the revelation of the Father. He is the truth made known to man. He is the revelation of heaven. He is the revelation of the kingdom. He is the revelation of the plan and the purpose of God. He is the revelation of why you are alive. You cannot even know the fullness of your purpose until you know the revelation of Christ. You are part of that revelation. Do you understand? You are part of that revelation. Your existence, your purpose for existing is part of the revelation of the Son. Because you're part of the kingdom. Hunger for truth. Hunger for the revelation. In it is revolution. And in the revolution, you are moved into reformation and all things become new. It's not enough to know the past. I'm so thankful that the Bible teaches us the past. That it tells us of a truth, how it all happened. And we never have to doubt. I'm so thankful for that. It's not enough to know the present, although the Bible teaches us that as well. And I'm so thankful for that. It's not enough to know the future. How can I make you understand? How can I put in your heart the love for the truth I'm trying to give you? It's not enough to know the future. It's not enough until you know Him. Until the many aspects of His character, His plans, His purposes, the way He thinks, the way He feels, what He is, what He does. He says, I do only those things that I see the Father do. What are those things? He dwells in the unapproachable light with the Father. What does that mean? I and the Father are one. What does that mean? Do you have the right to experience that oneness? Yes. The Bible says that He is the glory, the outraying of the divine. What does it mean? What does it look like? Do you have a right to know? Yes. You have a right to know and you have a right to experience what it means. Because it has been given to you to know. He doesn't want you walking in the dark and ignorance. He wants you walking in the light of truth. He wants truth to overtake us until we begin to look just like Him. Do you have a right to know these things? Yes. 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 Not only do you have a right, but it has been given to you to know by the Father. To you, He says, the Bible can be more than just black and white. It can be a living experience with the Father. Because those who love Me, I will reveal Myself to them. Well, I love you, God. Do you think that? I love you, God. Then believe for Him to reveal Himself to you. That's a criteria. What is the criteria? You love Him. You love Him and you obey His commandments. And because you love Him and you obey His commandments, He promises to reveal Himself to you. Paul invited us in his writings to look into the face of Christ and be transformed. To look into His face is to look into His word in a living experience. I want to awaken in you tonight a passion for a different kind of walk than you've ever had. More than a desire, a passion. Jesus told me a long time ago, anyone who will, that goes beyond desire and to a place where you are willing to pay any price to have the revelation of Christ. Will you drop the nuggets of pearls along the path? You don't dare. You hold them in your bosom. You hold them tight. You hold them so tight, no one and nothing can take them from you. Because every time you choose sin over truth, you lose. Every time you choose truth over sin, the way is made light to enter in. This is something God wants for His church so much. Listen to me. So much that He poured out the blood of His dear Son to ensure that His church would have it. That is a tremendous commitment. Our part is to hunger and thirst for the revelation. To hunger and thirst after the knowledge of God. To hunger and thirst after it so much that when the Lord says, I want you to give this up so I can reveal myself to you, you don't even think twice. You just do it. Because you're hungering and you're thirsting after the revelation He wants to give you. Did you know that most revelation comes after a time of testing and trial? God gives the testing. God ordains it so that He can give you the revelation. Most people don't understand that. So they resent the test. They resent the trials. They don't seek to learn God in them. And so many get angry with God so that when the testing and the trial is over, there's no heart to receive revelation. They don't realize that the very thing that they despise is the thing that was designed to give them the answer to their prayer. Remember when Abraham went out against the kings in the dale? What was the next thing that happened to him? He saw God. It was a heavy trial to him. He didn't know if these kings would come back upon him and kill him at night. He had no idea what would happen because he went to war with these mighty kings. But he endured the trial. He did what he was asked to do. And when it was all over, God revealed himself. This is a way that God interacts with us. Every trial, every test is designed to reveal Him. It is true. I don't care what the trial, I don't care what the test. If you will go through it right, you can have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't this fun? Talking about it is. I like the honest ones. It almost makes the trials, it's like it takes the lion's teeth out of them. When you realize that this is an opening of a grand door, every trial for the purpose of revealing Christ. Because most people don't understand that. They don't press in for that part. And they mess it up. So they go through a lifetime of trials and they never get the blessing. It's time for the church to arise in truth and receive the blessing of the promise. Oh boy. Boy, did I feel that one. I'm telling you, this is something God is saying to you. It's time for you to press through to the blessing. It's time for you to quit denying yourself the blessing. It's time to press through to the blessing. The blessing of truth. The fruit of truth, the life of truth. It's time. It's time to come out of our old way of thinking. Hallelujah! And see the glory in every trial, the glory that awaits you. How can you resent something that is designed to reveal God? We're so silly, aren't we? I will let myself be clearly seen by Him and make myself real to Him. Whoa, what a promise. I'm experiencing a fiery trial tonight. This might does not want to stay in place. But I will praise the Lord for my blessing. Yes. God's heart for you tonight is one thing. Crave Him. Crave Him. Crave the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Think about this. Hallelujah. Think about Israel. An awesome revelation of Jesus Christ was about to come to them in the person of Moses. And think about the fiery trial that my people went through to get to that revelation. Then so many years later, He Himself comes. And they had been through and were even at that present moment wrapped up in a fiery trial called Rome. But in that fiery trial, oh, God was paving the way for the desire of their hearts, desire that had been held for thousands of years, all the promise of the prophets. God was paving the way. Don't you understand? Rome had to come down with its iron fist. It had to. Because God was paving the way for the revelation of Jesus Christ. The trials must come. I'm teaching you God's ways. I'm trying very hard to try to help you understand where we're going in the calendar of God. But one way that you begin to understand is when you understand God's ways, then you can begin to look for certain things to happen as certain other things transpire. That's how prophets walk. They learn his ways. And so they see this, they automatically know this is about to occur. They see this, they automatically know this is about to occur. And it's learned not just from the prophetic vision, but from experiencing the life of Christ. Understanding and knowing how God is, how he talks, how he brings about his purposes and his plans in the earth, as well as in their own individual life. People think they know all this stuff just because they're good prophets and God speaks to them all the time. No, they know it because they learn his ways. And that's the best part. Anyone can learn his ways. And when you begin to learn his ways, you begin to see prophetically. What I'm telling you is the truth. It's one thing to have prophetic vision. It's the other thing to have God in your vision. We walk and talk with Jesus, right? But when he talks back, no one can hear him because they don't know his ways. They don't understand how he communicates. It is yours to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can go through the trial and you can make it. You can make it. No matter how fiery the trial is, you can make it into the promise of the revelation. Now let me tell you another exciting truth. Are you ready? The greater the trial, the greater the revelation. See, and you just thought the devil was beating up on you because he likes to beat up on people. You never realized God had handpicked you. Look at the terrible trial that Job went through. Oh, it was awful. The awfulest trial anyone has ever gone through, I think. But look at the revelation that followed. He got a face-to-face with God. The bigger the trial, the greater the revelation on the other side. Look for it. Believe God for it. Start praying for it. Okay, Lord, we're in the trial. I'm ready for the revelation. Prepare me in this trial for the revelation. Help me know. Help me be looking. Help me understand when it's time for the revelation to be given so I'll be ready. Never waste time in this life. Buy up every opportunity to know God. Are you excited? Are you excited? Are you excited because you think maybe you believe, dare to believe. Believe. Only believe. All things are possible to those who believe. Only believe. Only believe. I was telling my old secretary's daughter, her name was Bonnie and her little girl's name was Charity. I was telling Charity about some of the visitations that my granddaughter Tiffany has had. And she said, "Tiff has had those visitations? Tiffany has seen the Lord that many times? Well, why haven't I? Why can't I? She's a kid, you know?" And I said, "Well, have you asked him? Have you asked him to visit you?" "Well, no." I said, "Ask him. Don't worry about why, Tiff. Get it for yourself." She said, "I can do that? I can ask Jesus to visit me and he will?" I said, "Charity, he will." I don't remember how long it took. I can promise it was less than a year, but I think it was only a few months. And within a three-day time, he visited her twice. And on the second time, he brought along a couple angels. She was looking out her bedroom window, and her little friend was sitting right next to her. And there he was, with two angels on either side of him. And her friend screamed. She said, "Charity, who is that?" Her friend wasn't saved. "Who is that?" Charity laughed. She said, "It's Jesus. And those are angels." Needless to say, she got saved. It is for you to know. Only believe. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the most glorious promise in the whole world. We don't have to wait to heaven. We can have the revelation of Jesus Christ here and now. Not only can we, but you've assigned it to us because we love you. That's what you said in your word. The big criteria, we love you. Our hearts are so full. How do we say thank you for such a precious gift? We don't have to cry for it. We don't have to bellow for it. We don't have to stomp our feet to get it. We don't have to get angry and throw temper tantrums because it hasn't happened yet. We don't have to do any of that stuff. We just have to pray and believe. Because it is given to us by God, by the Father, given to us to know. How can we thank you enough? Words cannot tell the joy in our heart to know that we can know and we can experience. It's our assigned portion. It is our inheritance. Give faith, Lord. Put faith in their hearts. Give faith that they can believe and receive. In your precious name. I want you to come up here. Just come up here and let me pray for you. I'm going to pray that God's going to give you a good believer in your heart.